All right, 19 minutes past 7 o'clock here on Power Business with me, Nosipho Radebe. We're into our Ask Your HR segment, and tonight we'll delve into a conversation on the costly implications of negligence in the workplace with reference to a landmark judgment which has sent shockwaves within South Africa's labor law landscape. Now, in the recent case of Mogale and another versus the National Health Laboratory Services, the Labour Court awarded damages of over 22 million rand, holding management accountable for negligence and breach of fiduciary duties. Now, associate in employment at Cliff Decker Hofmeyer, Tato Maruapola, joins us on the line to unpack this case for us. Tato, a very good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, Nasipa, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you for having me.
All right. Tato, take us through then, or walk us through the key findings then of this case. What was the court's rationale for holding the employees and former CEO liable for the financial damages?
Okay, sure. So for the benefit of the listeners who do not have the chance to read the judgment, the question that was before the Labour Court was firstly whether the dismissal of the two senior employees, namely the former CEO and the former CFO of the NHLS, was both substantively and procedurally fair. And the second question that was before the Labour Court was whether the employer, namely the NHLS, could claim damages from the two employees for losses suffered as a result of the employees' negligence. The court ultimately upheld the dismissal of the two employees for negligence and further upheld the damages claim that the employer brought.
And now, Tato, the court also, you know, held the former CEO liable for over 22 million rand and the employees jointly liable for just over 300,000 rand. What specific actions or failures contributed to these substantial financial penalties?
Correct. So the two charges, or the charges rather, against the two executives were quite serious in that they involved exceeding the NHLS's delegation of authority by awarding contracts and tenders to service providers that resulted in contravention of the Public Finance Management Act, the employer's relevant policies and procedures. And all of this ultimately culminated in wasteful expenditure that caused the employer harm. And to illustrate by way of an example, in one instance, the board had approved a tender to be awarded in the amount of 25 million, but the total amount that was actually paid to that particular service provider was something in the region of approximately 106 million, which is 100 million more than what the board had approved.
And Tato, talk to me then, how did the court differentiate between the liabilities of the former CEO and the other employees involved in this case?
Correct. So the other employee was the CEO. Ordinarily, the CEO would be the one who signs contracts which are binding on employers. And I think on that basis, that is why the CEO in particular was held to be liable in the amount of over 22 million. But it's important to note that the full amount that was claimed by the NHLS was something in the region of 230 million. However, the court found that this amount was not proved by the NHLS and held that the employees should be jointly and severally liable in the region of 340,000. But the former CEO was personally liable for 22 million. Because she had ultimately the authority to sign contracts or these tenders on behalf of the NHLS.
Sounds like some key lessons were learned there. Tato, what lessons, rather, should employers take away from this case, particularly when it comes to hiring practices and ensuring competence in senior positions?
Sure. So with regards to lessons, although the judgment has sent shockwaves around the country, the fact that an employer can claim damages for losses suffered as a result of an employee's negligence is not necessarily a novel issue in our law. As far back as 2012, CNH was involved in a case whereby the Labour Appeal Court confirmed the principle that an employer can claim damages as a result of an employee's negligence, which results to a breach of contract. And this particular case, it reminds employers of the importance of hiring competent and suitably qualified individuals, especially for managerial positions. And if key employees are not up to the task, the consequences can be devastating for an employer.
Mm-hmm. All right. I am in conversation with Tato Maruapola. He is an associate in employment at Cliff Decker Hofmeyer. We are talking about negligence in the workplace. It is the Ask Your HR segment. You can dial in That's on our studio line, 0861-987-000. Also, we're on WhatsApp for your comments, 0833037093, where you can dial in and let us know what your questions are. But Thato, how then does this judgment highlight then the potential financial risks that negligence and incompetence by senior staff can pose to organizations?
Sure. So one thing that people commonly do when they apply for a new role is look at the remuneration salary. It's also important for employees to read the contract as a whole, as most contracts will include a clause that speaks to the duties and responsibilities of the employee. And this is important because this sets out the expectations of that particular role. And by signing an employment contract, the employee gives an undertaking that firstly, they understand what the role entails, and secondly, that they have the necessary competencies to execute the demands of the role. And a failure to exercise diligence, care, as well as skill may result in employees being charged with gross negligence, which is a dismissible offence. And in addition to gross negligence being a dismissible offence, negligence could also amount to a breach of your employment contract, as your employment contract will contain expectations of the role, and a failure to meet those expectations may be construed as a breach of contract.
Explain the legal principles surrounding breaches of contract and fiduciary duties that were emphasized in this ruling.
Sure. So one of the remedies for a breach of contract is damages. And a party that seeks damages must firstly plead damages and secondly prove that the damage and prove the damages sought. And the onus is on the plaintiff or the party that alleges to have suffered damages to prove the quantum or the amount of damages suffered. And the court in this particular case found that the NHLS cannot simply seek the damages in the form of 200-odd million against the employees, which was the difference between what the board had actually approved and the wasteful expenditure regarding the amounts that are actually paid to the service providers. And in this particular case, the court applied its own formulas and concluded that both employees were liable for 340,000 and the CEO in particular was liable for 22 million. However, in relation to proving damages, one must firstly establish, amongst other things, a link between the breach of contract and the damages suffered. And another thing that you mentioned was fiduciary duties. And in addition to the duties that will ordinarily be in your employment contract, our law also recognizes fiduciary or common law duties, such as the duty to act in the best interest of your employer. Furthermore, legislation such as the Companies Act actually make provision for directors to be held personally liable for breach of fiduciary duties or for losses suffered by an organization as a result, as a direct or indirect result of, amongst other things, a breach of the fiduciary duties or other duties contemplated by the Companies Act as well as the company's MOI. And the net effect of this is that the company may sue a director for losses suffered as a result of the director's negligence.
I actually wanted to touch on that. You know, how then does the breach of fiduciary duty, you know, affect not just the company, but also, you know, broader operations, reputation, as well as legal standing? And as you mentioned, the company can turn around and go back to the CEO and say, this is not okay.
Correct. So a breach of your fiduciary duties exposes the company to great risk. And if your breach results in losses to the company can then turn around and, as you rightfully claimed, seek to recover the damages from you. They can either seek to recover the damages on the basis of a breach of contract, and as one of the remedies for a breach of contract, seek damages or go through the procedure set out in the Companies Act. But I think the point, the ultimate point is that negligence, in particular negligence from senior employees such as the CEO or the CFO, may ultimately attract liability on those particular individuals if their conduct amounts to the company suffering losses.
Are there any, Thato, are there any specific internal controls or policies that employers should establish to mitigate risks around breaches of duty or contract by senior staff?
Sure. So I think the point of departure for that particular question is that employers need to have a look at their recruitment strategies, especially for senior positions such as the CEO and CFO. I know that it's common practice in this day and age for employers to headhunt senior employees, but I think there's also a duty on employers to ensure that the actual candidate is fit for the role, because the fact that somebody has qualifications on paper does not necessarily translate to the person knowing how to perform the role. And I know that in some industries, in particular senior manager position for SOEs, the candidates undergo a rigorous background check. So this is something else that the employer can actually consider going forward. to ensure that the people that they actually appoint are competent.
And then do you foresee any broader changes in how South African employers will manage their workforces and approach hiring in light of this ruling?
Sure. So with regards to this particular ruling, it remains to be seen if the CEO and the state of the late CFO will appeal the judgment of the Labour Court to the Labour Appeal Court and ultimately the Constitutional Court. And those two courts in particular may ultimately come to a different conclusion than that reached by the Labour Court. But ultimately, this particular judgment serves as a timely reminder, in particular for senior employees, that firstly, gross negligence is a dismissible offence. And secondly, if the employer suffers losses as a direct result of the employee's negligence, the employer may seek to recover the losses from the employee in the form of damages. And I think, Nasipo, the expression that comes to mind is the expression that says, to whom much is given, much will be required. And when a vacancy arises, the employees should carefully consider the job description or the job spec and juxtapose this with their own competencies and skill levels before applying for senior managerial positions. As if these employees are found to be negligent and their negligence amounts to losses for the organization, then the employer may may find themselves having to pay back the money.
Some sage advice there. I love that. To whom much is given, much is expected. I'm paraphrasing there. But thank you so much for your time, Thato.
It's a pleasure, Nosipho. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. That was Thato Maruapula. He is the associate in employment at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, taking us through our Ask Your HR segment, talking about the implications of negligence in the workplace. But it's just gone 7:30, time now for news headlines with